Nevertheless, he's a Nobel laureate, and the virus hunters moved on. So what they've done is they've blamed basically four main human cancers and a few smaller ones on viruses or on bacteria. The four main ones I'll just go over very quickly. Burkitt's lymphoma was discovered by Dennis Burkitt in Eastern Africa in the early 1960s, 1962, in fact. It's a cancer of the lymph nodes. A lymphoma is a cancer of the lymph nodes. So they grow and swell up, and the lymph tissues become cancerous. 2 years later, doctors Epstein and Barr in London, working on tissues extracted from the lymph nodes of Burkitt's lymphoma patients, found, heavens to Betsy, found a virus in those tissues, which they had been growing in culture for quite some time. Well, of course you're going to find viruses. In fact, the lymph node happens to be the place where when your body is getting rid of old viruses, they all go to the lymph nodes first before they get cleaned out. So you play around with lymph node tissues, and surprise of surprises, you find a herpes class virus. It was named humbly by Drs. Epstein and Barr, the Epstein-Barr virus, and was immediately said to cause Burkitt's lymphoma with a latent period. It's the first time this was used in any serious way, especially for human diseases. A latent period of 10 years. The virus would infect you today, would multiply in the body, cause, as it turns out, a mononucleosis, the so-called yuppie flu. This does meet Koch's postulates. You could show that the Epstein-Barr virus does cause mononucleosis. Causes mononucleosis, the immune system gets rid of the virus is gone, you have nothing but antibodies left, maybe a little trace of virus out in the lymph nodes as it's being gotten rid of. 10 years later, you will now develop the terrible Burkitt's lymphoma cancer. The problem is that the vast majority of people who are infected with, or were infected with this virus throughout the world never developed Burkitt's lymphoma, not after 10 years, not after 50 years. For that matter, quite a large number of the Burkitt's lymphoma patients have never been infected by this virus. Well, put aside all the evidence, the fact that you can't cause Burkitt's lymphoma in the lab using the virus, everything fails. Nevertheless, this is taught in medical textbooks to this day, and it is widely believed that Burkitt's lymphoma is caused by the Epstein-Barr virus with a 10-year latent period. The next one was cervical cancer. Cervical cancer was thought to be infectious since the 1800s. Because nuns had a lower incidence of cervical cancer. On that one little tidbit of information, it was assumed to be sexually transmitted. And on nothing else. Because nuns had a lower rate. Never mind whatever other differences nuns might have, but because they presumably had less sex, therefore it must have been sexually transmitted. On that basis, venereal viruses were searched for as the cause of cervical cancer in women. In the late 1960s, herpes simplex virus strain 2, that's genital herpes, was blamed as the cause. However, after about 10 years of research, it was clear that the majority of women, or at least a good number, who had cervical cancer had never been infected in their entire lives by herpes simplex virus strain 2. Too many of them were showing up. Finally, even the most diehard of virus hunters were beginning to get embarrassed. There was one paper that appeared that promoted what was called the hit-and-run hypothesis, the idea that the virus had come, had hit and run, left no traces, not even antibodies, and years later you're going to die of the cancer. Talk about untestable scientific hypotheses. How do you even test for that? How do you know that the virus was ever there if it doesn't leave a trace? So that was pretty silly, and in 1979, then a new virus was proposed. So now we had the cancer that changed viruses. First, it was caused by herpes simplex virus 2. Now it was caused by papillomavirus, which does cause warts. And this is the reason that genital warts are said to lead to or be at risk for cervical cancer, because they're claiming that the virus that causes genital warts also causes cervical cancer, and that genital warts are in early stage. Never mind that there is no evidence for that. Never mind that warts actually have nothing to do with cancer and histologically, medically very different. Never mind the fact that this virus can't cause this cancer in any animal, causes no equivalent cancer in humans, and that a growing number of women are coming up, a large percentage actually, maybe at least a third of women who have cervical cancer have never been infected with any strain of papillomavirus at all, never had genital warts. Nevertheless, this virus is currently considered the cause of cervical cancer. Women, your gynecologist will, in fact, try to test you for venereal warts, and if she finds them, she will try to tell you that you are at risk for cervical cancer. Latent period, of course, was thrown in. It was calculated as follows. Since it was assumed that women are going to be catching the papilloma virus at roughly age 20, let's call that the peak of sexual activity, and the cancer itself, being a cancer of older age, begins showing up in women who are ages 40 to 70, we'll subtract 20 from 40 to 70, and you have, yes, you guessed it, a 20 to 50 year latent period. And that is currently the very, very broad range of enormous latent periods estimated for this virus to cause cancer. Most women who have papilloma virus, genital warts, never, ever, ever develop cervical cancer. Anyway, 20 to 50 years. Third one was liver cancer being blamed on the hepatitis B virus, which does cause hepatitis B, that's liver inflammation, but is said to cause liver cancer as well after it's disappeared, after your body gets rid of it, some 30 to 60 years later. I'm not even going to comment on that evidence any further. And then finally, there was the virus in search of a disease discovered by Dr. Robert Gallo in, well, actually, he claimed to discover it. Apparently, it was discovered by the Japanese. When they mailed him a sample for comparison in the mail, all of a sudden, Dr. Gallo discovered the same viruses, the same virus, complete with mistakes and all, as the, identical to the Japanese virus. And this virus, HTLV-1, as it was later named, became the virus in search of a disease. Dr. Gallo wanted it to be the cause of some kind of leukemia. He searched the world over until he found a Japanese island in which a fair number of the people there had been, had antibodies against this virus, and a fair number of people had an adult T-cell leukemia. Thus, by geographical correlation, the virus and the disease were on the same island. He said, therefore, the virus causes the disease. He didn't bother checking that the virus and the disease were in the same people, only that they were on the same island. As it turns out, they're not in the same people. There's only a partial overlap. Nevertheless, Dr. Gallo was able to patent the test for the virus, and now the Food and Drug Administration requires that the entire blood supply for the United States, 12 million blood donations per year, be tested for this virus at anywhere from $30 to $50 per test, and Dr. Gallo receives royalty on the total. So, of course, he's very well off these days, much better off than I am at the current time, for a virus that cannot be shown to cause any disease.